This week's mailbag comes to us from Kristen. Hello. I just had to share. My workbox arrived today. I am floored. I cannot believe my box arrived at your office on Friday and that your team shipped it out that same day so that I received it on Tuesday. I am in awe. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who went above and beyond to make that happen. I know supply chain delays have caused headaches for every company, but Organize 365 has handled them the best, truly, the gold standard of customer service. The icing on the cake is that the team was ready to immediately flip the workboxes when they arrived. I cannot imagine the amount of prep and hard work it took to make that happen. But I know enough about logistics to imagine it was a lot. So I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate it. I'm in the middle of a personal and work chaos and facing a potential move and job transition. I felt completely overwhelmed, like I was already drowning and I could see the tidal wave coming. And then I found Organize 365. It was like you sent a raft for my personal life. I know if I hold on tight, I can ride this wave. By turning around the workbox in time for me to get started and join the workbox planning day, I feel like you've thrown me a raft for my work life as well. I cried with relief when I saw it arrive a day early. That may sound a tad ridiculous, but it's true. It was just, well, a symbol of hope. And knowing how hard your team worked to send it to me, it made me feel like I wasn't alone in the chaos.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I am so excited to talk to you today about this topic of before and after pictures, what your life looks like before and after anything. But in this particular podcast, we're going to talk about what is your life feel like before you are organized, and what does it feel like after you are organized? And the reason why I say feeling is because in all of the Wednesday podcast episodes that you listen to, that's what people describe in how they feel before they get organized and how they feel after they're organized. But the outer reflection, I mean, yeah, the house looks better, but it's not like TV show better. You know what I mean? So this is something I have been thinking about and actually wrestling with for a really, really long time. I know that even just listening to the podcast and changing your mindset about how you think about reactive versus proactive things in your life, how your house functions, how you use your time, all of those thoughts shift when you listen to the Organize 365 podcast. And then we just put rocket fuel on those if you do the courses and products that we have. But most professional organization companies or companies that help you get organized are like the TV shows or like what you see on Pinterest, where you go from a completely overwhelming, very cluttered house to a picture-perfect, magazine, Pinterest-worthy refrigerator where everything is in clear acrylic containers and everything's sparkling clean and all of the bottles of everything are facing towards the front with no schmutz running down the side of them and, you know, six of each kind of drink that you would possibly want all lined up in a perfect row, perfectly spaced, like totally not reality. But so many of us are striving for that. Like, even I am, you guys. Like, I say we're not Pinterest perfect organizers over here at Organize 365. I did it. I tried to do the refrigerator 2 weeks ago. I actually bought the containers. Greg loves it, loves it. It looks better than it used to, but it's not practical. It's just really not practical. And it never looks as good as the minute after you finish organizing the refrigerator because, like, people add and remove things from your refrigerator and then it doesn't look perfect anymore. And by the end of the day, it looks less and less perfect. So one of the reasons why I've been thinking about this and not struggling with it, but it's always in the back of my mind, almost like Organize 365, when you start thinking about your time, your schedule, your life, your things, the way that I have taught you in the podcast, like you have less stress, less worry, less anxiety. Like you have more ease in your life, but it's so hard to quantify. It's so hard to put into words why it works and how it makes you feel so much better, especially when if you look in your kitchen or you look in certain spaces in your house, they're better, but they're like 20 to 40% better. It's not like a night and day before and after experience. One of the things we ask you to do when you submit your answers to the questions that we'll ask you on the Wednesday podcast is we ask you to submit a before and after photo. And that's something that our graphic department loves because we could put it on social media. And I'm like, I don't know how different these before and after photos are going to be or if they have before photos. And it's usually the biggest thing people email us about. They say, okay, I answered the questions for the Wednesday podcast, but I didn't take a before photo, or my before and after photos don't look that much different. And so, you know, this has always bothered me. We're not a Pinterest organizing company. So what does it matter what the before and after looks like? You can't always see in the outer world what is happening inside of your inner world inside of Organize 365. So let's really talk about what does it feel like before you're organized and what does it feel like after you're organized? And we're not looking for a decorator magazine after, and you don't have to have a hoarder level decluttering problem before. Organization, like what it takes to have you feel different in the after versus the before, can happen in a weekend. It can happen in a month. It doesn't mean that your outer world looks perfectly organized. It never will. And it's not like you're starting from hopeless despair and disorganization. No one's ever starting at that point. It is such a subtle mindset shift that moves you in your organization journey from how you feel before to how you feel after. And the outer reflection of that usually takes about 12 to 18 months. 12 to 18 months for your outer world to match the inner transformation that you're going through internally, because it's not about your stuff. It is not about your stuff. You could be an organized minimalist. You could be a disorganized minimalist. You could be an organized hoarder. You could be a disorganized hoarder. Like, it is not about the amount of stuff you have, the space that you have, how it's organized, if it's color-coded, if it's labeled, what kind of bins you have. It has nothing to do with any of that. What it really has to do with, what organization truly is, living an organized life, feeling organized. When people say, I feel organized, or you say, that person is organized. In my estimation, what you're observing or what you are feeling is the difference between someone who is living a reactive versus a proactive life. And you can live a reactive life that looks organized, and you can live a proactive life that looks cluttered. But the difference is in your mental and in your emotional mindset. So, great example. You could see someone's house that looks perfect. It looks so organized. You would say this person is organized, but on the inside, they feel stressed and depressed and overwhelmed and anxious, and because they're just flying from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and they feel like they are living their life reactively. It looks good. The house looks perfect. They have all of the containers, but their life is being driven by someone else's agenda. They are constantly reacting to all of the other people and obligations in their life, and they don't really have a proactive planning in place. And likewise, you can walk into someone's house that looks a little bit more chaotic, a little bit more disorganized than some of your other friends or your own house, and that person can be calm and have plenty of time and have the mental capacity to talk to you about anything in the world. They're not stressed. They don't have anxious. They take deep breaths because they are living a more proactive life. They know where their time is going. They know that they have time to talk to you today. They know exactly what on their calendar they are taking and delaying to the future or completely eliminating so that they could be present with you. But the house doesn't look like it should be in a magazine. But that person is very in control of their time and their emotions, and they've prioritized their world around them so that they are proactively living in it. So if what you're seeing on the outside is not a reflection of what is on the inside, how do we really figure out for ourselves when we are in proactive life and when we are in reactive and get more into proactive? And eventually, once you're in proactivity long enough, everything around you kind of falls into place. I can explain what it was like to live a reactive life every time that I had an organizational breakthrough. When the kids were under the age of two and I created the Sunday basket, my life had gotten so reactive that I just couldn't live that way anymore. Like, we had enough money in the bank account, but our bills were being paid late because I couldn't find the bills to pay them. There was so much going on in that time frame with two kids under two. Joey's asthma was off the charts. Abby had all the adoption paperwork. My direct sales business was booming. Our marriage was better than ever. We had more disposable income than we had ever had in our lives. I was able to think about sending Joey to private preschool. And I think that was the year that I got Greg new golf clubs for Christmas. Like we were doing everything that we had wanted to do or we had thought would maybe not even be possible in our life, but I wasn't enjoying it. Like, I didn't feel like, yay, this is great. Like, our life is all great. I felt like I was failing, which makes no sense whatsoever, but it's because I was not on top of all of the abundance that we were having at that time in our life. And it wasn't until that Sunday night at 8 o'clock where I took that huge stack of papers, because it was 2001, and I spread those papers out on the floor. They weren't paper clipped or anything, into 40 actionable piles. I had 40 different actionable piles of things I needed to try to get done or I was in the process of doing. And Joey never napped. Like, the kid still doesn't sleep. I don't know what to tell you. A 20-minute nap was all I would get from him. And so I was not staying on top of all of the awesome things that were happening in our life. And even though money wasn't an issue at that time, Joey had asthma, but they were relatively healthy. We'd been blessed by adoption with these two great kids. Our marriage was great. We had a house. Like, everything was going well. I was stressed and I was overwhelmed and I was anxious because I knew I was missing things, but I had no idea what I was missing. I was, you know, not following up with my customers the way that I wanted to follow up with my customers. And I just always felt like I was missing something. You know that feeling where you're like, all right, I know I didn't do something, but I can't remember what it is I didn't do. Or I'm sure by the time I figure out what I didn't do, it's going to be very public. Like, my mother-in-law is going to know, or my team is going to know, or I'm going to not, you know, meet my husband's expectations. And I'm so blessed, you guys. Greg is not a judgmental person. He is totally laid back. But my father would always notice when we didn't meet expectations, not in a horrible way, but like, our house had to be vacuumed every day at 5 o'clock because when he came home, he wanted it to be vacuumed. And if you walked on the carpet, he was like a Clouseau type person, Inspector Clouseau. And he was always trying to figure out what, not always trying to figure out, but he was able to observe what was going on in the world, even if he wasn't there. So if you walked on the carpet, he would know where you went. I don't know. It was so weird. So because that was my experience growing up, that my dad always kind of knew what I was doing, even if he wasn't around, I always thought Greg knew what I was doing, even when he wasn't around. So if I was exhausted and wanted to take a nap in the middle of the day, I would take the nap, but then I would feel guilty that I hadn't gotten something else done. This is how you usually feel when you're living a reactive life, when you're reacting to the world around you. And I mean, we're all going to end up in seasons like this. And sometimes these seasons go on for a long time. Within a year, I was able to move from having one child to having two children to having the Sunday basket and feeling like I was proactively in charge of my life again. So I was doing well with the Sunday basket with the kids for about 3 or 4 years. And then my parents got divorced and then my father became ill. And life started getting much more reactive again because I wasn't in control of outer things that were impacting our nuclear home. And then the kids got sicker, and then the money dried up, and then the world went into a recession, and on and on and on. And about 10 years later, from when I created the Sunday basket, I found myself driving home from work in December of 2011, where now I was failing at everything in my life. In 2001, I was reactive and stressed because there were so many possibilities and so many good things going on. In 2011, I was driving home from work and there was not much good going on. I was unbelievably stressed. I was working outside of the home. I was getting up at 5 a.m. I was going to bed at midnight. I was not meeting any of my own expectations as a wife, a mother, homeowner, but I thought I was a good teacher until my administrator told me that day I wasn't. I was completely overwhelmed, totally anxious. I was on medication because I was definitely depressed. I had no capacity for anything more. And it wasn't like I had that feeling in 2001 that I was missing something. I knew I was missing things. I knew I was paying this bill on time and this bill late because there wasn't enough money at that point. I knew that we were having a kid sit somewhere 5 minutes until one of us could come pick them up, and we were late picking them up because we were both out of vacation time and we were taking time unpaid, and there were things that were happening at work that we couldn't leave to go get our own kids. Like, it wasn't maybe I'm missing something. I knew I was missing, like, everything. And I finally, on that drive, on the way home from work, was like, oh my gosh, I cannot live this way anymore. Like, I am letting everyone down, including myself. Like, I have got to figure out how to get a grip on my life again. And so maybe you started your organizational journey like I was in 2001. And the reason why you want to get organized is because you're in a life of abundance and there are just so many opportunities and possibilities. And if you could be more organized and proactive, you could take advantage of those and then some. Or maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, if I'm going to live to be 100 and I'm 40, there's no way I'm living the next 60 years like this. Like, this isn't worth it. Like, there's no positivity here at all. And both of those are the places that we start our organizational journey on. The after, the before. I didn't even tell you what my house looked like in either of those situations. It was atrocious in both, but you know what I mean. My house was disorganized, but my brain was disorganized. My heart was disorganized. I just couldn't figure out what organization would look like. What would it, I couldn't even imagine there would be a time when there would be enough money and time and capacity and not stress associated with that and not anxiety associated with that. What I find so fascinating when you listen to the Wednesday podcast episodes is that in every single one, there's usually an experience going on that is way beyond a disorganized house, a cancer diagnosis, a parent who has fallen ill and passed away, something that's happened to a spouse or themselves or their children. Like, there's usually a much bigger, more important story than the organization of the house. But what I found in many times in my life, 2001, 2011, and others, is that when I am stressed and I cannot make sense of my world, I process through physically organizing my house. I think I've told you this story before, but when my parents said that they were getting divorced and or they had separated, I went into our basement that we weren't using for anything at the time, and I cleaned that thing top to bottom. I mean, it was clean, clean, clean. And I was, you know, talking to my parents and I was talking to my good friend and I was trying to process through like, what, who gets divorced like when they're like married 35 years? Like I couldn't even comprehend it. And I was trying to stop it, which of course I'm not powerful enough to stop that. But, you know, I had delusions of grandeur. When I have trouble processing through something I'm going through that I'm not in control of, our house is cleaner than it has ever been. So you may say that, yeah, I totally feel that before that you're talking about, and my house looks really good. Your house may look really, really good when you actually are the most stressed, living the most reactive life you could possibly live, because the only thing you feel you have control in anymore are how clean your windows are, or if your house is vacuumed, or if your refrigerator is stocked. So you focus on that because you feel so out of control in everything else in your house. So the cleanliness and the organization of your house is not necessarily the indicator of if you're living a before or after picture of what Organize 365 does for you. It's the difference of how you perceive the event that you're going through, whether you're looking at it through the reactive lens or the proactive lens. So a great example is right now, here, now we're in 2021. So here I am 10 years later, and I am not living a reactive life anymore. Like I am living a very proactive life. And there are many things that have happened this year that in 2011 and 2001 would have pushed me into a spiral, and now it doesn't. And the best one I can explain would be Abby's pregnancy. So my daughter, Abby, if you don't know, has been pregnant the year of 2021, and Grayson was born 4 weeks early on August 30th, healthy, happy, and I love having him live with us. So much fun. When Abby was pregnant, it was a surprise. So again, it could have been reactive. And instantly, as soon as I knew that she was pregnant, I, in a proactive manner, decided that this baby is going to be an amazing blessing to our family. Abby is going to be an amazing mother, and she is, and I knew she would be. And that this is going to be probably one of the best things that ever happens in our family is that this little baby is going to come into our life and live in our home. And yes, it's going to change a whole bunch of things I thought were going to happen in the next whatever 5 years, but who cares? This is going to be great. I also thought through me proactively. I thought through, how do I want to show up for Abby as her mom? How do I want to show up for this baby as a grandma? How do I want to support Joey and Greg through this transition? How do I want our home to function as a multi-generational home? How do, like, I took some time and I really thought about, what do I want this picture to look like? And I know that I'm not in control of everything, but you guys, we're way more in control of things than we think we are. And taking the time to think through and process through what we want and how we want to show up for things is huge. So I thought through it, and I am really enjoying being the founder and owner of Organize 365. We are having so much fun helping you get organized, and the company is growing, and travel is where we were headed. Obviously, the pandemic slowed that down, but I still had this book tour planned, and I still plan on traveling. So a baby was going to slow that down even more. And I thought first for Abby. I thought, you know, I adopted my children. I did not have the blessing of being pregnant. And so I missed out on some of those things that you get to do when you're pregnant, baby showers and doctor's appointments, and some of those things I never experienced. And I thought, you know what? I want to be there for all of the doctor's appointments that Abby will let me go to. Like, I want to be there for all of the doctor's appointments. And even with the book tour we did last summer, I was there for all except for two doctor's appointments. And there ended up being lots of doctor's appointments. So that was huge. I reorganized my work life around that, and I prioritized that. Also, I really wanted to support Abby as a new mom and not the baby. And so for the entire pregnancy, I didn't buy anything for the baby. I bought everything Abby needed. I bought her the pregnancy pillows and the maternity clothes and all the other things that would support her in her pregnancy, because I knew that everyone else would buy things for the baby, so I bought things for Abby. And even at Abby's baby showers, I would find out what the next thing was that she really, really wanted on her wish list that she was afraid she wasn't going to get off of her registry. And that's the thing I would buy. Not the thing I wanted to buy for Grayson, but whatever Abby wanted next. That's what I did. And being someone who loves babies a lot, like I love babies. I could not get enough of holding babies. I love babies. Purposely focusing on Abby during that entire pregnancy helped me be more present for her as a mom versus excited about being a grandma. To be honest, I didn't even buy anything for me as a grandma during her entire pregnancy. I just focused on her and her well-being, and that's totally different than how I thought I would be or how I have been in the past. We thought Abby's water broke many, many times before it actually did, and that is why Grayson came early. Like, that kid, like, he's going to be huge. He's like, I am not going to stay in here for the entire time. So we ended up actually at 25 weeks going downtown because we thought her water had broken and we thought the baby was going to be born very early. And I remember driving downtown. I have a degree in early childhood education. So I know all about, you know, pregnancy and how the baby develops and then what happens after. And I've taught in Head Start program. So I know all about early childhood development and how important it is to stay in the womb and what happens when you're born early. And I have many friends who have babies who have been born early, and I'm a baby-aholic, so I know all about it. So we're driving downtown. I didn't want to scare Abby, but I also wanted her to realize that, you know, that this is serious, because she was like, yay, I get to meet Grayson early. I'm like, no, you will not be meeting him early. He will be in a NICU. You know, and I didn't realize they don't do bed rest now, but I thought she would maybe be in bed rest. I remember driving downtown. This was before the book tour, thinking to myself, okay, well, the book tour is off, and either we have a grandson who is in, you know, the ICU all summer, and we need to make sure that he is healthy, or we have Abby in the hospital, you know, on the drugs that they keep you on in order to keep the baby inside, and like all the possibilities of how this is not going to be an easy summer. And I remember thinking on the way down, I thought through all three possibilities. One, this is no big deal. You're on your way home. Yay. Two, the baby is born and we have a baby in the ICU. Or three, Abby is in the hospital. And I came to peace with all three options before we walked in to see the doctor. Luckily, obviously, he wasn't ready to be born yet. But I think that is the difference between living a reactive and a proactive life. In the past, reactively, it's like, oh my gosh, we have to do all these things and this is going to be terrible and I have no control and this is going to be horrible. And proactive, I was able to think through, okay, well, if this is the scenario, this is what gets canceled or delayed off of my calendar. This becomes a priority. Here's how I reorganize my work week. Here's how I'm going to support Abby. Here's how I'm going to support Grayson. It's a different mindset when you are thinking proactively versus reactively. It's the same exact situation. And I think this is why sometimes you see people in chaos who are very positive. So when I started at the beginning of the podcast, I said, in a normal before and after situation on any of the organizational TV shows or magazines, you see a disorganized house and then a picture-perfect Pinteresty after. And I'm telling you that what you see in those before and after pictures don't tell you what is happening inside on people's emotions and their thought process. So if Organize 365 helps you move from this reactive hamster running on a hamster wheel, overwhelmed, anxious, stressful, reactive person to someone who has more mental capacity and less stress and less anxiety. And how many times have the people on the Wednesday podcast said, I can just breathe now. I could take a deep breath now. When was the last time you took a deep breath and were able to proactively look at everything that's going on in your life? And when the unexpected comes, which it always will, you're able to look at that thing that just landed in your lap and say, this is now the priority based on what I already have on my calendar or on my agenda. This is what I'm going to eliminate or defer so I can make time and really process through this unexpected. How in the world do you have a picture of that? And what does it look like in reality? So for me, each time I've gone through these periods where I was completely reactive, like in 2001, 2011, and many other times, you can read the whole story of 2012 in the book Organization is a Learnable Skill, but if you haven't, or to sum it up, what I notice my after looks like is that I have the capacity for more. The capacity for more. At first, it was more time for me. In each instance, it was more time for me, which meant that I had time to take a bath, and it was not 5 minutes, it was a 20-minute bath. And then I was able to start reading books. And then occasionally I was able to start doing puzzles. You know, I do a lot of puzzles now. Now I have so much time and capacity for me. I do all of them. I walk, I take baths, I read books, I do puzzles every single week. Like I'm able to do all of those things and I still have more time. It also means that I have more time for my passions. I'm able to deep dive in and learn about things that are not even related to what I'm doing in my family and my work. I'm learning about history and economics, and I'm taking college courses on the side. Like, I know, I'm so funny like that. I have more capacity to grow the company, to learn more about how businesses run and how other companies have started to scale and add more employees and continue to grow. And I have more time for this adult family that we have, spending time with Abby and Grayson and Greg and I and Joey and I, and focusing on each person and developing our relationships together. So we have a great idea. Here at Organize 365, we want to see pictures of your after. Your before, if you want, but your after. We're really focused on the after. And the after is you living your life that you were uniquely created to live, regardless of where you live or how your house looks or what your job is or what your family makeup is. Like, what is the essence of you? What is the thing that you love doing? Maybe your after picture is a picture of your kids climbing all over you and you just playing with them on the floor. Or maybe your after is you climbing a mountain or running a marathon. Or maybe your after is starting a business or having more time to devote to a charity or your church or starting a job or maybe quitting a job. Lots of you start professional organization businesses or join our certification program after you get organized. And lots and lots and lots of you are writing books. It is so cool to see how many books have been written after you've gone through Organize 365 and you get organized. Your after picture has nothing to do with the containers you're using, how organized your house is, if you got through every single day of the 100-day program. There are always going to be areas in our house that we want to get a little bit more organized, can look a little bit better. Your after in Organize 365 is you have increased capacity for what you want to do and joy. You're limitless. You have no more limits. You keep growing and your story keeps expanding because you're living a proactive life. Because as life happens and the unexpected happens and it comes your way, you're able to defer and delete items off of your goals or put things back into a Sunday basket that you thought you were going to get going on because you're making room for the life as it is presented to you. Organize 365 mission is to help busy people in all phases of life learn the skill of home and paper organization in 1 year with functional systems that work so that they have time to pursue their passions and share their innate talents with the world. You have been uniquely created to do something. That something is your after. It's not how your house looks. So you're going to start seeing this on Instagram. We're going to start sharing these on Saturday, pictures of people's after. Like, what are you doing once you feel organized, once you're living a proactive life? What does that look like? And maybe for you, it is a Pinterest perfect refrigerator. They are really drool worthy. But for me, it's growing Organized 365. It's cuddling Grayson. It's traveling with Joey and Greg. Like, that's my after. Has nothing to do with what my house looks like. All right. You guys have a great week.